Welcome to the Journal Hijabi podcast. I'm your host, Sirin, and here we're all about elevating the voices of hijabi women in mainstream media through authentic storytelling. Without further ado, let's begin the episode.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome back to your favorite hijabi podcast. I am Sirin, the founder and host of Journal Hijabi, and today we have an iconic guest, Zain Jadallah.
Hey guys!
So excited to have you. Thank you for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So I usually start with my guests with like a little of an icebreaker, and it's more of like a daily check-in that like I try to do with myself in the car or when I wake up. So it's on four different things that we go over. So physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. I know it's like a lot. I'm like, well, it's like a therapy session right now. But I'm going to do it first so you can kind of like see how it is. So
okay,
it's more of a body check-in. So kind of seeing right now. Physically, for me, I feel hot.
Okay.
Because, you know, we're in this room, like, I just feel hot physically.
Yeah.
I feel a bit tired, you know, Ramadan, we're fasting, by the way, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan, we're doing this episode,
we're fasting, so God give us extra good deeds. So kind of feeling that, you know, a little Ramadan food coma. Spiritually, alhamdulillah, I feel good because, you know, now you have the opportunity to really build that, you know, spiritualness, and it's a journey, you know, just take it day by day. Mentally, I'm stable. Stable right now mentally. Stable enough to move on. Emotionally, I will say today's been kind of like a roller coaster. Kind of woke up on the wrong side of the bed, I would say.
Okay.
So, what about you, physically?
Physically, I feel like I should be going to the gym because I feel like I'm also, like, in a food coma from last night because, like, I didn't eat as much as I thought I would, but, like, you know, I just feel like I need to go on a run.
Yeah, just run it off.
Yeah, just run it off.
Literally.
And, like, refresh.
Fresh air. Spiritually?
Alhamdulillah, it's Ramadan. I went to the first, not the first night, the day before yesterday, Tarawih. And I haven't been to Tarawih since, like, 2019.
Wow.
So it was so, like, it just felt so good.
Yeah, I haven't been yet. I'm trying to, because we had a family Ramadan dinner last night, which was very nice. You don't really want to leave those. You know, you just, like, pray there and stuff.
Right.
But That's amazing. Like it feels really good. And I've seen, was it the first day of Ramadan that you went,
it
right?
The day before, like the first night.
Yeah, you were with like a group of friends and stuff, and that it's easier when you have a group of friends to do it, because it's like more motivational instead of, you know, like me right now, I would probably just go alone, but then I would like meet people there.
Yeah.
Mentally,
you know, we're working. I'm trying. I'm trying to breathe, go through school.
I get it. You know, we're just a little behind the scenes. We're college students. We're at a coffee shop, and I'm just going to feel the vibe of the environment. You might hear some noises. You might hear some people stomping on top of us in the ceiling. Someone just walked in to grab a chair. There's no handle on the door. You know, there's just like a lot of chaos right now. But you know what? That's the beauty of being college students.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
But
did you say?
Yeah, like a 3 out of 10.
Okay. But we're stable, right?
Are we stable enough? Alhamdulillah.
Stable, okay. And then lastly, emotionally.
Ooh, I'm happy. I think like
what's the emotion that you're feeling right now?
I'm happy. Like I'm not
really.
Yeah, I'm actually like really happy. Like I woke up, you know, had my little suhoor, shoved it down like my mouth in like 10 minutes with my iced coffee, and like it didn't feel good after. But you know what? I'm full now.
You gotta do what you gotta do. I like chugged a whole water bottle at like 3 a.m. and
I had another water bottle prepared for me, but you know.
Yeah, and I'm always afraid of that. Like I'll have it by my bedside, but then I'll be afraid to like wake up and drink it, like if it already ended and stuff. So I usually take out all the water bottles from my room, so I don't like see them the next day, and I'm like, oh, I want to like drink, like I don't like just take it out. No water bottles in my room.
That's funny that you say that. I have a water bottle problem, like. I'm not even joking. There's like probably like 10 right now next to my like little desk area in my room, and my parents like get mad at me so much for it. They're like, just finish one. But like I like freshly cold water. Like I could always put it back in the fridge.
Yeah.
That's like one thing I get in trouble for, water bottles.
I mean, hey, I get it. Pre-Ramadan, that was me, but post-Ramadan, I can't. Like, if I see all those water bottles, no, put them away, girl. That's too tempting. And I was watching a video yesterday with Qalam Institute about, like, things that break your fast, but, like, well, no.
I saw that.
Well, no, not break your fast, but, like, if you unintentionally drink water and stuff, and it's so, like, putting yourself in a position like not to do that, you know, not having it like around you and stuff, just like would kind of help that.
Yeah, I'm gonna try that tonight.
Mm-hmm. How has Ramadan been so far for you? Do you have any Ramadan goals?
I have a lot. I think I have a few Ramadan goals. Definitely like attend Tarawih more, maybe like twice a week at least. Try to, or like three times a week.
That's good. I don't know why I put so much pressure on myself to like attend Tarawih every day. And that's,
it's hard.
Right when you said that, I was like, okay, well, that's not even realistic every single day. You know, like on the days that you have Azumas and gatherings.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I
especially
that.
Like family Azumas. It's
definitely.
Like, there's no way out.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, where are you going?
Yeah.
You didn't eat Qatayif yet?
Pretty much. And I saw on your Instagram sticky note that you don't like Atayef.
I
so
don't.
Please explain, because that happens to be one of my favorite desserts in the whole world, especially the cheese. So why?
I don't know. Like I think I just overate it when I was like growing up, and we only eat it in Ramadan. So like I can stand the dessert. I just
It's not your favorite. What's your favorite then?
Okay, I don't have a sweet tooth, you know, like, I don't crave, I don't like naffa anymore.
Oh, wow.
Or harissa, like, I'm just not a fan. I hate chocolate.
That's kind of sad.
I know, it is sad.
But you used to
like
them.
I like
chocolate
chip cookies.
Yeah.
But, well, okay, so, like, with that being said, one of my goals in Ramadan is to not eat any desserts.
Yeah. No, sugar-free Ramadan.
Like, sugar-free Ramadan.
I get it. I mean... I get it, but then I don't. I mean, do you? But like,
but coffee,
when
no,
that
like,
when Maghrib Edmonds, stop. Like,
you're eating
I'm eating anything. Like, if
right.
they bring out the dessert, I'm gonna have each one because I don't want to. The next day, no, I'm gonna be watching everybody's story. I'm gonna be like, why didn't I eat that bite of a web and stuff? I'm like, no.
Ooh,
I mean,
I can't do unwinding it. It's just like too much.
I know. Yeah. Well, okay. Good. In general, like Arabic sweets, no, they're very sweet. Like,
yeah.
I get it. Some can be like super, super. Like they have
the
oven,
syrup.
They have yeah, the syrup, the honey.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. So it could. I get it, but I'm just like, just YOLO, bro. Yeah. But speaking about the Ramadan goals, so you said like a tenth of a week, maybe like. Three times a week?
Like three or two times a week, you know.
I like
try
that.
My best.
Yeah. When Ramadan first started, I was like, I get the same feeling of, you know, when it's like a new year?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that people are like, new year, new me, new goals, new this. And it could be like so pressuring. But for me, I've realized, like, with Ramadan, just taking it day by day is,
right.
like, the way to go. Like, yesterday was amazing for me. Like, alhamdulillah, you know, it was the first day of Ramadan. Like, it went smoothly. I watched videos. I prayed. Like, I tried my best. Today is, like, harder. Like, I feel more hungry. I feel more tired. Like, a food coma. I'm, like, my body's, like, getting adjusted to it. And that's, like, and I was fighting it. This morning, you know, I felt like off and like groggy, but like, you know, that's the reality of not only life, but like Ramadan, and that like it has its ups and downs. And I think that for me, Ramadan in one word is like self-restraint or like self-control.
Okay.
What would you say Ramadan is in one word for you?
Like a disciplining month.
That's good.
Yeah.
Like spiritually,
like, yeah,
mentally.
Both spiritually, mentally.
I like
physically.
That. Yeah.
Or like just peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Peaceful. Disciplining, like more in the sense of like testing your boundaries, testing yourself.
Testing
like,
literally
yeah.
yourself, yes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, to people that, you know, non-Muslims and stuff, like looking from the outside, it can look kind of confusing and crazy. Like, you know, why would you not drink water all day? Like, why would you not eat food?
That's like the most
yeah.
asked question. Like, not even water.
Pretty much. Like, debunk that. Not even. And I've never really looked into it until yesterday. You know, we always like laugh about it. Like, not even water day. Not even water. It's like the saying. But it's like, wait. If I was like a non-Muslim and I was like looking into it from the outside, and then someone tells me, oh, like, I don't drink water from sunrise to sunset, like, for a whole month, I'd be like, what do you mean? Like, what even is that? Like,
right.
it's weird. Why would you do that?
Right.
So it's like, you know, bringing up those questions and, like, pondering about it and really looking into it deeply, and it's like, whoa, like, it's much deeper than that of, like, you know, God giving us an opportunity to, like, be grateful for our blessings and what we have, and some people might have that, and like stepping outside of our comfort zone and like being uncomfortable and like knowing that like yes, I literally have a water bottle in my bag because from weeks ago because I didn't like change it and stuff. Like, oh my god, looking at it right now, like stop. But you know, it's like right now, like just that self-control and restraint and like forcing us for a month to be put into that position, and then seeing like how we react to it is just like so profound to me. Like that's like, I'm like, alhamdulillah for being Muslim, and like you wouldn't, and it's easier when you have like a big community around you and like role models and lecturers and sheikhs and like all these people and mosques and events to guide you through it, because it would be hard to do it alone, you know. Like I have both of my sisters, one living in Spain, one living in Austin. I guess sometimes, you know, they just do it alone, you know, like they fast alone and in their apartments, they eat alone and like missing out on like that family traditions and stuff. So like, I could just see it from that perspective. But that's that about Ramadan. Let's shift the conversation to you, the main guest. So tell us and our listeners, what does it mean to be Zane? Tell us about yourself. Who are you? Like, who even are you?
If I could, like, describe myself in, like, one word, it would be, like, loud.
Like that.
So loud.
I like that.
And just, like, so outgoing. I don't know. I feel like I'm a people person. Like, I'd be confused if, like, someone didn't get along with me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm nice.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
Like, the problem would be with that, not
yeah,
you.
Yeah, like, you're the problem, not me, you know?
I get it.
I don't know. Alhamdulillah, like, I'm very like, confident, like, within, like with who I am. But, like, that didn't happen overnight, you know? Like, it took, like, years. It took years for me to, like, just, like, truly learn how to love myself, you know? Like, learn how to love Islam, too, and, like, I don't know. Like, it's all, like, a triangle.
Yeah.
You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like, loving Islam, loving yourself, and it just, like, connects.
Yeah.
Like, why should I love myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you look at it more on, like, the Islamic side, like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It makes sense in my head.
No, I get it. Tell us about that more. Like, how, you know, maybe the backstories of how are you able to connect kind of that triangle, and how are you able to be so comfortable with yourself and be confident? Like, what did it take? Sometimes it takes losing something.
Right.
And then, but in the end, like, you gain, you know, that confidence. So kind of tell us about that backstory.
I grew up around, like, no Muslims because I went to, like, a Christian-based charter school, and I wasn't even hijabi. Like, I put
mm-hmm.
that's a story for later. But, like, I put hijab on after high school, so, like,
mm-hmm.
no one really knew I was Muslim, and I was kind of, like, more like them, more
mm-hmm.
American,
yeah.
like more Americanized. Like, I wasn't really, like, into the culture or anything. So it took, like, going through different types of people, and then, like, now, alhamdulillah, I'm so set and, like blessed with, like, the group I have and, like, the people I'm around, because I'm just like them. So the other people that were, like, not accepting of me, I, like, lost them, and then I, like, shifted to now people that are just like me, you know what I mean? Like, Muslims,
yeah.
or not, they don't even have to be Muslim, just, like, people who are, like, appreciate, like, my outgoingness and, like, appreciate me as a person.
Mm.
Yeah.
So kind of, like, separate from the hijab or both, or, like, just you, like, seeing you for your personality and, like, accepting that.
Accepting me for my personality. Like, these are people, and I still have, like, friends, non-Muslim friends, like I could, like, a handful of them who don't even, like, see hijab.
Mm.
You know, like, they just see sixth grade Zane, you know? Like, the girl that they grew up with.
And, you know, I can kind of play, I empathize with that. I can play devil's advocate of you know how they say, like, you know, we don't see color.
Yeah.
We don't see the hijab. Is that, I don't know, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because we can be like, oh, I don't want to be defined by hijab. I don't want to, I mean, to me, it's a personality trait. I define myself by my hijab. Like,
right.
It's me. Like,
no,
I don't care.
No, that's me now.
So what, where would you stand on that? Like, do you want... Would you prefer that people see us hijabis, like, don't see you for the hijab? Like, just, you know, look at you as, like, a person and a part of society, or what?
I mean, I definitely, like, my friends, like, are definitely, like, they're respectful towards me because, like, I am representing Islam.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, like, a walking, you know, walking Muslim. Everyone knows.
The pressure
yeah.
sometimes.
But I don't know. I mean, I feel like they already see the hijab, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like my,
yeah.
it's, I, like, understand where you're coming from, though, like, my, like, it's, like, my personality.
Because, and I say that because sometimes, to be honest, like, I'll even forget that I'm wearing the hijab.
Oh, no, me
too. You know, like, when you're talking or going out, and, it, you know, you just put it on, you're at the grocery store, you're, like, with friends, and then someone, maybe you catch someone, like, look at you at a certain way, or, like, approaches
oh,
you about questions and stuff.
Right.
Like, wait, oh, shoot, I forgot I even, I'm a hijabi, like, you know, and then you kind of feel off and stuff.
You
you're
forget.
Like, oh.
It's, like, a part of your routine. Like, you don't leave, like, I don't leave, I never leave the house, like,
yeah.
And I don't even, like, plan hijab in my head. It's just like, it's a normal grab and go. I look at what I'm wearing and like I match it to my hijab. I just grab whatever, steam it, put it on, and like I leave. Like I don't think about it, you know? It's just so normal now, like grabbing the hijab, if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. I mean, I think a lot of that's the story true for all hijabis, that it just becomes like a part of your daily routine. Like you don't really think of it. I think the offside to that is being able to connect with our hijabs, you know?
I agree.
And I think that's the biggest, like, the hardest things that we have to face as hijabis is like really being connected to our hijab, and why I believe so many hijabis and, you know, girls that want to wear the hijab struggle with is like connecting with your hijab. Like, what does it mean to you? You have to have some sort of an emotional feeling or attachment or belief to be able, you know, to stand confident. And I think that's like kind of what you found and what you're talking about.
To, so, like, reconnect back with that, like, to Ramadan, my, like, also, like, a goal is to practice, like, new styles of hijab.
Mm.
So that's
yeah.
how I'm, like, trying to, like, have a stronger connection to my hijab is, like, sitting there and literally looking at myself in the mirror and not just, like, throwing a vela on and leaving the house, you know?
Definitely.
But, like, yesterday I wore chiffon or, what was it, Georgette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, I sat there and I started pinning the hijab in my underpiece, and I was like poking my head because I've never done it before.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day, about how I need to make time to do that, you know, finding your style as a hijabi, finding like the right material that like fits your face shape, how to put it on.
Right.
For me, like, I love vela too. I think it's like, I think vela is revolutionary. It's like very innovative. We could talk about vela all day. Vela girl.
So iconic.
Like, the releases, the colors, like, you really connect with them, like, as a young hijabi, like, as, I think it's so Gen Z. It like speaks to our generation. Every release that they have really connects to so many young Muslims out there.
No,
and
I agree.
Yeah, and some get very inspired to even put on the hijab because of vela. I think you've mentioned that before, that your first hijab that you wore was a vela star.
It was vela.
Yeah, in 2020.
Yeah, in 2020, my sister had, like, ordered one vela hijab. Like, honestly, they can take all my money. I don't even think twice when I'm making a purchase.
I'll
get like,
there.
I'm Probably. Like, yeah, bye.
Yeah.
Shipped to my house 3 to 5 business days. I'm good. But, yeah, no, my first, like, I wore crinkle as well. Like, it was still, like, crinkle era. But.
Oh, I remember that era. I don't know.
I was.
We're just, like, subconsciously, like, fitting into these hijabi trends.
No,
like,
I'm just so happy I never went through, like, what some of these girls went through, like, the flower in the hijab. Like,
hey, that's iconic, though.
That
it's iconically traumatizing.
No,
but,
traumatizing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
those phases I can't.
Absolutely
but
not.
The crinkle,
like,
I mean, the crinkle, like, I guess it kind of, like, came out in the winter, and it was, like, I guess the material, like, you shift the materials based off of the season, right? So I feel like vela is more, like, summer. The crinkle or, like, the jersey, maybe, like, all year round. So it's, like, crazy to kind of see that, you know, and recognize. I think for me, like, I'm still stuck with the whole, like, nude palette. I'm trying maybe bring in more colors. I'm trying to be the hijabi. And I think that vela really speaks to that. Like, they release colorful hijabis in a way that's not, like, cringy, you know? That's not, like,
exactly.
Bobby. It's not, like, it, like, goes with the modern hijabi style. So
and it
I'm
just,
like,
looks good on everyone, like, whatever, like, whatever, like, skin tone color, like, you are, like, subhanAllah, like, it just works. Like, she's, they're just so good.
She's a genius.
No, she literally
is. I swear, I want to interview her on the podcast.
No, inshallah,
like,
one day. You'll get her on.
I wish. Do you have a crazy or juicy or embarrassing hijab story to share with us? I know you kind of hinted towards that. Maybe your fair share of, like, crazy hijab stories.
Do you
want to
hear, like, embarrassing or, like, crazy? Like, I went off crazy.
I want to hear all the stories.
Okay. So I used to at one of my old jobs, I used to work at. It was a shoe store.
JD.
This was Foot Locker, like my Foot Locker era. So like 2020, fresh turned 18 years old. I was like, mom, I'm getting a job. I was working one day, and so I put hijab on in like the kind of the beginning of 20, like the beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
So I never left my house. Mm. No one ever saw me in hijab. And like I was just always around my cousins, you know, like and their girls and like the guys here and there. But I don't know. So in 2020 or September, I got my first job and it was like mid-month or like no, it was like a month of me working, a month or a month and a half.
Yeah.
And I got stares a lot. Like I got stared at a lot. But everyone was wearing a mask, you know, so no one could really see my face.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like...
you were a khimad, like you were wearing...
Yeah, I was like wearing niqab or something. And so like I had that privacy still. But this one day, this lady came in and I was at the cashier this day because it was like a Saturday. We were just so busy. I was like, okay, let me hop on the cashier. So I hopped on. And she literally just, like, looks at me. She's not wearing a mask. And I'm literally looking at her. I'm like, what size? Like, what size shoe did you get? And she's like, is there someone else that can check me out? And I literally look her up and down. I'm like, I'm sorry.
What?
I'm, like, furious. Like, I just start getting furious. She's like, no, like, I don't want people like you to check me out.
Uh-oh.
Like, she's looking at it, she throw the shoe in her face.
The audacity.
Yeah, no, like, I would have literally risked, like, ripping the shoe in her face and throwing it at her face. And, like, she's, like, yelling at me. And, like, I'm just standing there, like, in shock. I'm like, there's no way this is happening. So I go off on her, you know. I say some things, and I'm like, you need to get out of our store. I was like, you need to leave. And, like, honestly, that was, like, a confidence, like, you know, snap, like, booster.
Yeah.
And she had walked out, and my manager had came up to me. He was like, you don't kick anyone, you know, you don't kick anyone out of the store. I literally looked him up and down. I was like, I will quit right now. Like, I go to the back and I'm just sobbing. Like, I'm literally just sobbing. I'm like, there's no way. Like, there's no way that just happened.
Yeah.
It was so crazy.
You were in shock.
Like, I was literally so shocked. But, you know, then 2 weeks later I quit and I moved to a different whole company. But, you know, it's okay.
No, that I'm in shock right now.
It was
like,
just so, I was literally.
You know, you hear about those stories, like, I'm listening to it now, but I can't help but to think, what age were you? How old were you?
I had just turned 18.
Yeah. That's hard. Like, even thinking at 17, 18, like, just don't really have those words or, like, confidence to, like, defend yourself in a public space, especially
also,
to an,
like,
older woman.
This is, like, closer to election.
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
Whenever
you know what side she was on.
Yeah, whenever Biden won, I would get like these comments. I'm sorry, it wasn't 2 weeks later I quit. It was like 2 years later or like a year and a half later.
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Sometimes I just have to.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking. But no, like this was during election time and like a few during November, people would come up to me like, are you happy your president won? And I just, like, laugh. Like, what are you supposed to say?
They would be, like, passive-aggressive comments.
Yeah,
like, you either ignore them or you laugh.
And I never, like, I've never seen this happen in real life. Like, I never thought this would ever happen to me.
To you, yeah.
Obviously, it was, like, a big, like...
shifter at that moment.
Yeah, I was like, do I take hijab off? Like, is this going to happen, like, the rest of my life? Like, are people always going to make these comments to me? Are people always going to stare? Like, I literally just wanted to, like, take my hijab off in that moment, you know?
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, it could be traumatizing, and it's kind of, like, in that moment of thinking, okay, like, here you are, a young, excited hijabi, just put the hijab on, you know, brand new, fitting in, like, going to work, starting your day, and then something like this pops up, which just really throws you off of your trail, and, like...
Yeah.
But, I mean, I empathize with you in that moment and, like, proud that you were able to really know yourself and, like, not tolerate that hate. I think that's what's so important about the story is, like, no matter what you get, where you are, what age, you know, you are at that time as a hijabi, it's just stand up, you know, have the courage to stand up, but also,
yeah,
if you don't want to, that's okay. Some people don't, you know, deserve a response. Like,
right.
For me, I don't know what I would have been, what if I've had a bad day that day and, like, someone did that. You know, I would just walk out. I would literally walk out of the store.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't care. But were you able to explain that to your manager?
I mean,
like what she said?
It was a guy. I don't know. I mean, like, I also just left that job because, like, I don't know. I always feel like I was hired on to some certain, like, I'm not going to name drop the jobs, but some jobs.
I already know what you're going
to say.
Yeah.
Just for diversity. Like, just to be like, oh, no, like, we have a hijabi employee, you
just
know?
Throw in a little flavor.
I feel like, and I've, like, job hopped a lot.
I get it.
I don't know. I feel like I've only ever been hired on, like, some certain places because of my hijab.
Really? That's crazy because I know some people who tell me that they had to, like, job hop and be at different jobs because certain jobs wouldn't accept them for their hijab. So it's, like, crazy
right.
to think about, like, how that conversation is, like, shifting now, but people are hiring hijabis for their hijab for so-and-so diversity in the image and, you know, the whole diversity inclusion, you know, stuff. But it's like thinking of times where we weren't really considered or, like, involved in that. So I don't know. Is it a good thing?
I mean, I look at it as a good thing and a bad thing. Like, good thing, you know, the discount.
Just give me the job.
Right. And then the bad thing, it's just like,
yeah.
I wish I didn't feel like that, you know?
Yeah,
I wish
yeah.
I didn't feel that.
Yeah,
because
it feels like, you know, you're being used. Like, you're genuinely excited for this job. You have the qualifications. You have everything to be a successful employee. But then you sit there and realize, like, wait, like, am I just part of, like, the image? So, I mean, it just like, puts things into perspectives. But I would say it's super important to, like, have supportive people around you that can encourage you during these times of uncertainty, discrimination, like, second thoughts, like, negative feelings about your hijab. And, like, you know, we all have that. So did you have any role models kind of around you, like, before? For the hijab that you kind of, like, looked up to and be like, oh, like, you know, they're a hijabi or, like, they inspire me to wear the hijab?
My cousin, Rania, put hijab on, I think, a year or two before me. And, like, I always told her, like, let's wear it together because she's 21, I'm 20.
Mm.
So I was like, let's wear it together, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, she was more ready than I was.
Mm. Yeah.
And so I don't know when she, I think, like, yeah, a year and a half before. I don't know, but, you know,
yeah.
She inspired me so much because, like, I don't, like, my cousins my age don't wear it. And so, I don't know, I felt like I was like, you know, I love doing my hair because they look so good when they do their hair. And still to this
yeah.
day, I'm like, oh, like, what if I just, you know?
Yeah, you'll have those days.
Yeah, of course. I think every hijabi.
Yeah, it's like being realistic about those
yeah,
days.
It's,
like,
it's fine.
I used to be, you know, when I first started this podcast, I'm going to put myself under the bus here real quick. I would, you know, be so afraid to talk about it, like, in a negative or bad way because I felt like I had to be, like, that perfect hijabi role model. And I feel
right.
like hijabis with that, you know, that have a large following or platform kind of feel the need, you know, to do that. But it's like now, you know, it's like a small starting podcast, independent podcast, and, like, you know, a growing community. I kind of vowed, you know, just to stick with being a realistic hijabi.
Right.
Of if I don't feel good about my hijab right now, or if I had a horrible day, or I'm like, man, like, I don't feel like wearing it.
Right.
I'm going to say that. You know, I have these days where, you know, I style my hair or whatever, and, like, I'm really feeling myself, you know, in my natural, like, hair. And then you're like, oh, I have to go to the store and stuff. I'm like, I don't want to put it on. Like, I don't
right.
want to wear it. It's,
so,
like, annoying. It's inconvenient.
So
yeah, so I'm like, and then you just
throw
it on, you're like,
that.
Bro, I don't care, like, whatever. So it's, like, just being realistic about, like,
yeah.
those, like, ups and downs, you know, with the hijab.
Yeah, but, like, no matter what, like, she, like, it's my cousin Leanna, and, like, she still always makes me feel, like, you know, beautiful. She's like, no, like, you got it, like, you got it, like, your hair looks bomb, but, like, you look better in hijab, you know, it's always that comment, like, you look better in hijab anyways. I'm like, girl.
I mean, it's good to have those people around. I don't think I have those, didn't really have those,
like,
role model. I wouldn't, like, I get, well, I would call it, like, maybe indirect role models.
Right.
That, like,
no, they're
there.
In my face. Yeah.
Yeah, like, they're there. You see them. You understand what's going on. But, like, they won't directly tell you, you know, like, you know, stuff about the hijab. But I think we have such an amazing community here, like, especially hijabi community in Dallas. So I'm, like, you know, super grateful for that.
I, of course, like, asked, like, my older sister, Shahed, and my older cousin, Joanna, about it first, and like I sat down and I talked, because like they're a few years older, and like they've been
through it,
they've been through everything, and like I just had a conversation with them one day, and I, you know, like one-on-ones, and they would just tell me like no matter what, like just remember it's for Allah, even though they probably hate it sometimes and they just want to rip it off their head, like they, like everyone, like we still have the need for it, you know, like they know it's for Allah and like no one else.
Definitely. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Just those girls always in my face giving me great advice.
I think it's also for us too, you know. Yeah. I always like play devil's advocate. Like I always see like, you know, both sides of the story. I always try to craft like the perfect answer to when people say, why do you wear it? I'm still trying to craft the answer.
Like,
there's not a perfect answer.
I get it.
But it's like, you know, if someone asks you, like, why do you wear that? And you're like, oh, because God.
No,
like,
that's so many people. And they literally say, they're like, yeah, because I'm Muslim. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Like, you wear it because of God. So it's like, you know, it can be, like, kind of, like, weird in that, because of my religion. I can see now why they see certain things like that.
That's,
and because
so
it, like, it could be kind of confusing. So
yeah.
Like now I try to, you know, bring it to me, you know, because obviously, you know, it's a personal choice of saying, you know, why do you wear that? I not only say, you know, because of modesty and like my relationship, like it strengthens my relationship with God, but also because me, like I feel good in the hijab. It's like
it makes me feel good.
Security
it makes me feel
blanket. It makes me feel safe. It's like what I'm used to. I've worn it for a decade, like 10 years. It's like a part of you, you know? So it's like, you know, just there's not a perfect answer. You craft whatever you want to say. And if you don't feel like answering that question in the moment and just walking away, you do that too.
Yeah.
Because we're, you know, as hijabis, we're not like, oh my God. Like I've seen these videos of like people walking up to hijabis in the gym. You know, like these old like men walked up to hijabi, and she was just like minding her own business and like working out. It's like, I don't have the time of day for this. Like, you know, we're literally doing our thing, and it's like there's a difference. I can tell the difference of like when someone comes up with like a passive aggressive, like a backhanded,
right,
complimented question. You know, like why do you wear that? But like, you know, stuff like that. You know, like. Like, you're too young. Like, were you aware that you even wore it at your age?
Or, like, did your parents force you to wear that?
Yeah.
Like, I always tell people, no, like, my parents wanted me to wait, actually. Like, they did not want me to wear it yet whenever I told them I was going to put it on.
Yeah, me too. Alhamdulillah, my parents were, like, very, and I mean, you know, every hijabi story is, like, different. Like, our experiences, maybe some... I know some families that, like, are more stricter about it. Like, they've been wearing it since they're very young because, like, they wanted them to get used to it.
Right.
But then there's, like, you know, my story of, like, I literally just woke up when... My mom didn't even... Nobody even knew that I was, like, going to put it on the next day. Not even me. Like, you just, like, feel it. You're never really ready for it. But I feel like you'll kind of, like, know in that moment, you know.
It's a feeling, I swear.
To put it on.
I literally felt that. I was like, okay...
Wow.
I was like, I think it's time. Because I think if I got
to college... It's crazy how that works.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Like, I think if I got to college and, like, university, I was not going to put it on. Like,
yeah.
I genuinely believe I would have never put it on.
It would have gotten harder.
It
like, as
way harder.
The older you grow, it's, like, the harder. Yeah, and I kind of chose, like, the last few weeks of school, you know, just to kind of, like, like give him a little peek, and then
that's
like
so funny.
Because it would have been so harder, like if you kind of started the new year, you think, or in the middle of the year, you did it in the beginning.
No, it just reminds me of my sister. My sister literally like wasn't wearing it on a Tuesday. The next day, Wednesday morning. I don't know, like, we were actually talking about that, like, a few weeks ago, and she was like, I literally showed up to school on a Wednesday morning, like, in hijab.
Yeah.
I was like, I could never do that. No, I put mine on whenever I knew I was never going back to school because of COVID.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, let's put it on.
That's kind of the avoidant style. No, I was like, head on. Like,
that's amazing.
Like,
you know what? Kudos to you,
because
I could never.
You know what? Because it was funny. Like, it's funny. I wanted
it
to be funny. Like, when I'm, like, anxious about things, like, I just have to make things funny. So I'm like, I'm just going to make it funny. It was, like, a joke all day. Like, my friends were taking pictures, videos, like, laughing. Like, you would see their reaction. Like, I saw this girl on TikTok. She kind of did the same thing. Like, she put it on, and then she recorded people's react. Did you see it? People's reaction.
Like that
was literally me, yeah. Like, recording people's reaction. They would, like, turn around, like, you know. Yeah, done with the eyes and stuff, but
so
I think, you know, it's just kind of looking back at that and being able to, like, laugh about it, and it's, like, a light, you know, funny story, and I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. Like, you're going to get the attention either way, so
right.
Why not make it into something? Why not, you know, make it into something that people can just, like,
right.
joke about and laugh about?
I agree.
So, if you would wear one hijab for the rest of your life, which one would it be? Is that a Vela one?
This is Vela.
I don't have the black one. I feel like it's always sold out. I want it so bad.
I think this one's the sesame one.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. There's like a bamboo one in this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The
there's like two different ones.
Yeah.
Like two different black ones.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing.
Oh, gosh. If I could remove one hijab. Okay, wait. I'm like...
And I think about that a lot.
Because
I feel like we kind of even... wear one hijab for the majority. It's like black. Like everybody knows. You just always wear a black hijab.
A black hijab. I don't know. I'm more into like colors these days, kind of.
You're wearing all black right now?
I'm wearing all black right now. Only because I was working and like it was kind of gloomy this morning.
Yeah, you kind of match. You think you kind of match the mood, the weather?
No, yeah. I know, literally. I don't know. I'm literally going to like look up. I'm going to look up the correct name of the specific hijab that I literally never take off. Like, it's so funny. I actually... Okay, so I took it from one of our friends. Her name is Lama. And she gave it to me to borrow.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw me...
It became that thing.
No, she literally, like, saw me... Actually, I think it's sold out. I don't know, but it's like that... It's that UNC blue. I don't know what it's called.
I don't even know what UNC is.
Like a baby blue.
Kind of like this, basically?
Yeah, but like
sort of?
A little.
Really?
Like,
you would wear that? Like forever? Like one hijab?
No, like I would wear that blue hijab.
Is that your favorite color?
No. Black is my favorite color.
Maybe.
And red.
Do you have like a certain memory attached to it? Or like
I don't
a feeling?
Everyone always compliments me when I'm in this blue hijab. I have no idea. But like,
so it's like a confidence booster.
Any blue hijab. Have you seen that Vela one? It's like the blue, and then it's like the swirly blue one.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. That one's nice.
That one, like whenever I got,
I don't know. I
can
like, I'll be looking afraid. Like I have to be bold to like really like invest. Like I want to be that person. I'm trying to like branch out. Like I told you, colorful like patterns and stuff. But I'm like,
and then I do the blue eyeliner. Like I do the blue under eye eyeshadow and like the blue under eye mascara.
Wow.
Like, I'm so dedicated to this hijab. I don't know, but this is now my new favorite hijab, like, this type of blue. And she gave it to me, and she said, every time you wear it, just make the offer. I'm like,
that's smart.
I love you.
Oh, that's smart.
It
I
was
like
just
that.
So nice.
It just had me thinking, you know, a good gift would be...
a Vela gift card.
I mean, that's what I did to our followers.
But
a good gift
would
be a hijab. Like, I've never thought of that before, you know? And, like, the hasanat that you would get and, like, you know, things like that. But
yeah.
I would think that a good gift is...
Yeah, she was smart when she said that. I was like, okay, girly, thank you.
So tell me about... We kind of talked about this before. It's this term called abaya girl or abaya girly. What does that mean? Like, you said you're trying to be that abaya girl
yeah.
in
okay.
the Ramadan. I kind of know, but... Like, basically wearing the abaya every day for Ramadan, so, like, kind of dressing.
Yeah, okay. So there's some girls I go to school with that just strictly wear, like, skirts. Like, they don't wear...
Mm.
Yeah, they're, like, more on, like, just the strict side, like, abaya, skirts, dresses, you know? And, like, they inspire me a lot because I'm, like... in a sweatshirt and sweatpants, and I, like, look like a bum sometimes. And I'm like, how do you make it look good? Like,
yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Cause I
could, I think it takes a certain level of practice confidence.
Yeah.
Because, and I have a story about, like, this abaya. Because, so, like, the abayas that I'm talking about are basically, like, the all-black, you know, abayas. So, like, you put it on, and I, like... Black is, like, kind of my favorite color, like, in clothes. I love an all-black fit. Like,
oh,
it's just...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
makes you go-to
look.
It makes you look great, honestly. Like,
pretty much.
Your face, like, glows.
Yeah, glows, and then you can, like, go all out with the accessories and whatever you want to add.
Right.
But this was actually on Eid, I think maybe last Eid, or the Eid before that. Most likely last Eid. But I was wearing, you know, you went to Salah prayer... I was wearing the black abaya. I was wearing the black hijab, kind of in my Saudi era, you know, Saudi,
okay,
woman,
yeah.
Saudi Arabian girl.
Khaliji,
you know?
Too.
Khaliji.
No,
I, lo-
the
I love
Khaliji. Girl.
Yes, it just comes out during
your little
during
purse.
Eid.
Your little purse.
Purse, glasses,
right.
Khaliji.
Exactly.
I live in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, exactly.
So I went to prayer. After that, I went to like a floral shop, just like pick up flowers for like my mom and my aunt and just like walk around and stuff. And it was, like, so hot, and it was, like, summer, you know, that type of Eid. And, you know, obviously, I went right after the mosque, so I was, like, still wearing those clothes, like, all black, like, looking like the Grim Reaper in the midst of summer. So you start having, like, these negative hijabi thoughts, negative thoughts that, like, I look so dumb. I look stupid. I'm in a southern Texas state.
The sun is scorching. It's like steaming me.
It's steaming. It's frying me in my car.
Right.
Like genuinely, come on. Like, I would look dumb to people, you know, if I'm wearing that, like, in the midst of the sun. So, like, that's just what's going on in my mind. And, like, it just going through my mind and, like I would not get out of the car. I would not get out. And I actually recorded like a little bit of like a voice note, like just to have, and like I was gonna put it on the podcast, but like I was having that real, I call them like hijabi panic moments, like now hijabi panic, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like in that moment, I'm like, oh, like I can't go down, like, just buy the flowers. So I ended up going down just to kind of like test it. Was I like overthinking? When I went down, that all went through the window. Like, I didn't, and it was weird because I've entered that store before when I was just wearing jeans and stuff, and I've gotten that vibe where, like, they just, you know, didn't really want to help me or whatever. So that's the vibe that I had. So I'm like, now I'm like wearing abaya. So what are they gonna do now? But it's crazy. I feel like they, when I walked in this store, more people actually came up and like help me, you know, like right when I walked in and stuff, like repeatedly asked me, like, do you need help with this, do you need that? And I kind of felt that it was like confusing to like process in that moment, but I felt that energy of like people can feel when you're confident and okay with yourself. Like, they obviously knew.
Yes,
the risk,
I agree.
The audacity that I was taking showing up with that outfit, you know.
Yeah.
Like an all-black abaya. So they're like, man, like, I respect her. You, like, they will respect you, you know, for being yourself, for being that one that's, like, courageous and genuinely doesn't care. And I guess that's the vibe that I gave off.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow. Like, that just, like, goes to show, like, you know, me being in my head and, like, having all these negative thoughts and, like, what I held back. Like, imagine if I never got out of that car. And, like, now... I'm totally fine. Like, I'll wear a abaya. I don't care where I am. Maybe not Walmart. I've heard some Walmart stories. Not trying to go there. About the abaya. So I had, like, a story from my aunt, and it was actually very, very sad. She was, like, in line. And my aunt, like, my mom and my aunt, you know, they're sisters, but they're, like, kind of completely opposite. Like, my mom, I guess, is a more modern hijabi. Like, you know, she wears jeans and pants and dresses and stuff like that, but like my aunt mostly, like, you know, dresses, skirts, abayas. So she was wearing abaya, she went to Walmart, she was standing in the checkout line with her husband. Then there's like this old lady that comes behind
her. The old lady
at Walmart,
like, at Walmart.
The old trailer ladies at Walmart. She comes up behind her and comes close to her ear and whispers the word ISIS. I don't know if it was the word ISIS or she said ISIS and then something else. Maybe it was just ISIS. But when she told me that story, I was furious. Furious.
No,
that's not even funny. It's getting old. It's not accurate. It's not cool.
No.
That's why I don't go to Walmart. Yeah, I can't.
Target, girlies.
Target is the way.
No, I literally would have thrown something in her face. I'm violent. I would have done that.
Yes. No, I was so furious because she was by the time she, because she didn't even see her, right? It was just from behind that, she caught her off guard. She didn't, by the time she even tilted her head, she was gone. She didn't even see who it was. So, the violation to that, it's that moment of injustice that, you were harassed, you were violated in that moment, and you can't even do anything about it. You can't even say anything about it. You can't even react. You have to suck it in.
No, I
that would have ruined my whole day.
I would have shut the doors of Walmart and been like, everyone whisper in my ear so I can hear. Who said it?
Pull up the cameras.
The cameras. Literally. I would have literally punched someone. I would have punched her. No, I genuinely feel I have so much self-control because I feel I genuinely would punch someone in the face.
Yeah.
If they said that to me, in today's era for me. Back then, I cried at the back of the store.
Yeah.
But now,
I swear, it's the amount of stuff, it just builds your resilience as a hijabi. You said, back then you didn't do anything, but now it's the audacity. But also, I get it. I'm violent, but on the inside. But they want us to react, They want a reaction. And then if somebody records it, but they don't get the first part, but they get the second part of you beating up some lady.
They're going to be she's crazy.
Yeah, look at this crazy hijabi. And it's it just happens in the media all the time. I'm done. So it's what do we say in that moment? Do what you got to do.
No, seriously.
If you got to punch a lady today, you got to slap somebody,
exactly,
do it.
Exactly, and that's fine.
Just check if there's no cameras around and then do it.
Right, exactly.
Trip her, key her car. No, I'm joking. We're not.
Slash her tires.
We're not promoting that
violence.
The first reaction shouldn't be that.
Absolutely not.
I know some people's reaction is violence first, but definitely.
Pull out my phone when I start recording.
I
be the smarter person.
That's smart.
I've seen a lot of people do that.
Because people want to second guess and be like, I never said that. Or I never said that. Or I didn't do that. But no, I have the evidence. And you can turn it into a case and stuff. So it's definitely.
Get your money up, girl.
Get your money. Always get your receipts.
Exactly.
We're not, especially in a southern Texas state, we are not playing. We don't know these.
Yeah, absolutely no.
Crazy people about it. So, talking about confidence, especially as a hijabi woman, and kind of relating to that scenario, but maybe just in general, and you've talked about you having that a lot, and honestly, on the backside of that, I see that as a survival trait, that sometimes as a woman, but also as a Muslim woman in a hijabi, it's you have to be confident, you have to exude that,
Yeah, that's right.
As literally a way to survive. So how can we, in your opinion, to me and our listeners as hijabi women, how can we not care what other people think of us, maybe as just us as a person, but also as hijabi?
I think have that one person you can I have my best friend Noor. I go to her for everything. I always whenever I do my makeup, I FaceTime her. I'm like, does this look good? I know it looks good, but I need that
reassurance,
that confirmation from my girl, like my sister, I don't know. I would say my one piece of advice is do it.
Fake it till you make it?
Yeah, not even. Just walk out of the house. You know how many times, this jacket today, I just ordered this on Amazon, and my confidence in it was I was like, I'm not leaving the house with this jacket on.
What?
I don't know why. Like, it's just in my head. It was just
head.
In my head. But then I put it on and I just left. I was like, I didn't take any extra jacket with me, nothing. I'm wearing like a short sleeve shirt under. I just walked out. I was like, okay, there's no going back. Like, I'm already 30 minutes away from my house. I don't know. Just walk out the door. Just like open the door for yourself and like learn that it's okay. Like, love yourself. Be happy with who you are. And just do what's gonna make you happy, and do like your first option of happiness, you know, like not,
yeah.
Oh, I love this on me, I'm leaving the house, but wait, what if no one else likes it? No, leave the house because
you
like it.
Yeah, like you ordered that jacket
for me to
wear
it. Wear
it.
Wear it. And walk out.
Yeah.
Lock
don't,
door, get
don't
in your car, and just go away.
Yeah,
just.
I love that.
It takes time though.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't take overnight for me. It took like 3 years.
Wow.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, I mean, I would say for me, it's I take it day by day, you know. Like, some days it's like this, some days it's like that. But I think what it really comes down to is like just getting out of your own mind and living life with your heart, through your heart, listening, you know, acting upon things with your heart, not your mind. Because your mind is the ego. Your heart is just yourself. Your heart is like your pure soul. Like, even in this moment, like the way that you're, you know, acting, speaking, doing, like I got out of my mind right now. And like, now I'm connected to my heart. And you see how more connected you feel as a human being, because the heart is like, you know, your compass, and it's what guides you, and it pumps all that blood in your body, and like how hard it works for us. So it's like, negative self-talk, overthinking, being stuck in your mind, I think really prevents you from being you and growing as a healthy human being.
Yeah, I would just say, like, as I said again, like having that one person you can just like always always
me,
connect to. I don't
know.
It's hard to connect with myself sometimes. Like, I try to, because that's the advice like Noor gives me. Like, like literally talk to, pray about it. Like, prayer is just so big for me. I pray about everything, for directions, everything.
Yeah.
And just praying, like, okay, like, how, like, just like ask, like, God, like how, like, help me learn how to love myself and just accept myself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I think, you know, there's like two sides of the spectrum. Like, for you, it's like you kind of need that friend, you need that guidance, you need like someone to lean on for a support system. And I think that's super important for everyone to have. For me, I would say that person is me, you know, myself. And yeah, I mean, so you can see it both sides. Some people are like, wow, like, I wish, you know, I can do that. Me, like, some people have a hard time, like, you know, being meditate and like sitting with themselves and, you know, being quiet and stuff. And I think for me, I used to always see that as like something wrong or like something weird or something like this. But now I see it as more of a strength, you know, a superpower that realizing that some people aren't able or capable to do that, like be that person that they need in their lives. And like, for me, that's me. I have a lot of self-dialogue. I have a lot of self-talk. You inspire me. You know, I see you in your way, and like being open to realizing that, yeah, sometimes you are able to do it all by yourself, and it's like okay to ask other people for help, and like having that one person that you can lean on. So I think it's very cool and important to like recognize both sides of that conversation.
It also comes with like growing, like I'm still, like, I just turned 20, you know? Like, I'm still learning. Also, like, your brain doesn't even fully develop
absolutely
until the like, age of 25.
Yes, and that's my year. I'm going to turn 25 in a couple months,
and
I'm like,
you already got it. SubhanAllah.
It took so much to, like, reach there. I've been waiting till my brain fully develops and, like, closes so you could see things clearly and make sound decisions, and you can feel that now.
Yeah.
Like, now you're like, okay, everything you was just like a roller coaster train track of like hell and chaos, and like you reached this moment, you departed the train, and like this is it, and it just feels so good. So I can't wait. So do you have anything else that you want to add in our episode? Speak your truth or hold your silence forever? This is your time.
I would say one last piece of advice, for me, or just a tip, makeup. I love doing my makeup. Oh my gosh. I love matching my makeup with my the color of my outfit. And I'm a huge sneaker person. So because that's what I did for 3 years of my life and what I'm still doing, I'm in that flipping shoes era, make my money on the side.
Yeah, yeah. It's more of a hobby, but you want to turn it into something
maybe
more.
Inshallah, colorful hijab. One day. Yeah.
Colorful hijab.
But yeah, matching my, because the biggest compliment I get is your outfits. I love the way you dress. I'm like all my cousins and my sisters make fun of me because my go-to outfit's always a black shirt, tucked in, jeans, and sneakers.
That can be your signature. I feel like everyone needs to have a signature style.
Right. That's just my. But then the younger ones copy me now. Mm. I'm like, y'all used to bully me for it.
I literally feel that. My sisters. Oh my god. I used to. I guess I was the fashionista, if you want to say. Everyone has
the middle child.
But I would get ridiculed for wearing Doc Martens, and I wore Doc Martens since eighth grade. This is 2011 or 12, right? I would wear them, kind of be there. There were only, I remember, maybe two other girls, wearing them. I would always wear them and stuff. And even friends and my sisters, they would make fun of me for it, clown shoes, blah blah blah. Now everybody's wearing Doc Martens.
It's like the
my
situation.
Sister owns Doc Martens. So it's
that's crazy. It's the UGG situation. I used to wear UGGs in third grade, but now everyone wants those.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Ugly UGGs. It just goes to show stick with what you see as deemable, as fashionable, literally a Doc Martens person. So we have reached the end of our episode. I love chatting with you. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Oh, and I forgot, share your socials with our listeners, where they can find you and follow you.
My Instagram is Zayne Jadallah. That's Zayne Jadallah. And then my TikTok is the same thing, except only one H. So ZayneJadallah.
Thank you for tuning in and spending this time listening to this episode. If you could take 1 second to support this podcast by sharing it and leaving an honest review, it would mean so much to me and help us to reach many different audiences to spread our stories about the hijab. Until next time, never forget the power of being a hijabi. Thanks for reaching the end of the episode. We hope you learned something new about the women who wear the hijab. You can watch the recorded video of this episode on YouTube at Journal Hijabi. And be sure to follow our Instagram at Journal Hijabi to stay updated on all things hijabi and help spread our stories. Until next time, never forget the power of being a hijabi.